from Dufourstrasse 90 here in Zurich. This is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis. I'm Tyler Brulé. The Stack this week, of course, we're back here in the heart of Zurich, almost the heart of Zurich, you could say. I'm going to be joined by a couple of editors, they're right around the table, from the NZZ Sonntag, Katharina Wacher is here, and also from Republic, Mark Dittley. A little bit later, we're also going to be heading down to Brazil and hearing from Fabio Zanini, the political editor of the country's largest paper, Folha de São Paulo. And also we're going to be having a flip through a new addition to the men's style section of the French newsstand. We're going to be looking at the magazine L'Etiquette. That's right here on The Stack on Monocle 24. We're going to get things right underway, though, and say hello to Mark Dittley and also Katharina from the NZZ am Sonntag. Good morning. Nice to see both of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Why don't we start? We have a couple of papers around. Mark, just before we went on air, I threw down the challenge. I said, let's bring the world up to speed. Of course, we've got, at this time of day, just being after 11 o'clock here in Zurich, it's probably, we're quite Europe and Asia heavy right now. But you spotted a story on the cover of the Tages-Anzeiger, one of course, the newspapers of record in this city and in this country, certainly German language, which was also very particularly Zurich.
Yes, that's correct, Tyler. The Tages-Anzeiger has on as the front story today an analysis of the punctuality of the trams in Zurich, and they come to the quite shocking conclusion that quite many trams are late by more than 2 minutes.
Okay, so this is almost an urban or even national crisis, would you say? Or
I'd say nobody cares outside Zurich about that.
But yes, but we are within the city limits. So
indeed,
do you think that, of course, the comment section of the paper is going to light up? And but maybe more importantly, is this news to a Zürcher? Do they recognize this? Because I'm normally on the 2 and the 4 tram when I'm here, and yeah, maybe once or twice I've noticed it might have been sort of 30 seconds, 40 seconds, late from time to time. But the world doesn't upend as a result.
I was actually quite surprised that they made such a big deal out of it, because the trams, they come every 5 or 6 minutes anyway. So, if they're late by a couple of minutes, it doesn't really matter.
No. Katharina, on that, I mean, you're, of course, with the other newspaper of record, the Sunday edition, of course, I sort of find sometimes, when I dip in and out of Switzerland that, SBB, the tram network, these are flashpoints, partly because they're, I guess, part of the national brand. They occupy the national psyche. Do you feel it's sort of important? Do stories sort of go to the top of the list? Do they make the front page, when there's, well, I guess both good news, but maybe more often sort of bad news at an institution like the SBB, Swiss Federal Railways?
Hmm. Well, I think most of all, public transportation really touches the subject of national pride here in Switzerland, and this is really a huge topic. And I think it's a good headline, of course.
And as a consequence of that, it's as you say, this is something, punctuality, timekeeping, all of these things are very much, again, part of the national brand. Maybe it's also part of the national cliche in the country. Just for people who are not familiar, and this, of course, show concerns itself with media, for someone who just saw the newsstand, you would see two newspapers, the NZZ and the Tages-Anzeiger in the city, which have largely the same format, they have the same trim size, etc. How would you differentiate them? Someone who just has arrived, walked off a plane from Chicago, how would you define the two papers, and what role do they play within Zurich, but also German-speaking Switzerland?
Well, Saturday is a bit special because the NZZ always has on the front page like an in-depth analysis about what's going on in the world, and in Tages-Anzeiger, I'd say they're more focused on news, whether hard or soft news, and they're also more local, I'd say.
Just on that, if you look at the front cover of today's paper, Mark, is this, we have a big piece about authoritarianism as this big sort of lead piece from the NZZ. Is that why people are coming to this paper? Still in a day and age like this, for this level of reporting, and it's, this is what's amazing. There's nothing visual about this. This is one of the remarkable things. At a time when people want to put so much imagery on the front page, this couldn't be more sober, more black and white as a paper. It doesn't exactly welcome you in.
You're right. But that's really the Saturday edition strength of the NZZ. Today they have this big opinion piece about authoritarianism in Brazil. They take the issue of the election in Brazil going on this weekend with Jair Bolsonaro probably going to win, and they have a very strong, very in-depth opinion piece about that. People read the NZZ because of its international angle. It has a very strong international section. The first section of the paper is all about international subjects. And I think that, for me, is the strength of the NZZ.
And it's, as we said at the menu of the program, we're going to be heading down to Sao Paulo a little bit later in the program to hear from one of the editors of the Folha de Sao Paulo. I want to open up to both of you right now. Just where would you say we are within... Yeah, we were coming to the end of 2018. The current media landscape in Switzerland, Katharina, there's been a lot of there's a lot of news in the city of Basel, where we've seen a takeover of a paper. Yeah. A lot of consolidation in this country, like so many other markets. There was a report that came out last week, also about trust in news brands, a focus on how much are people men and women in this country going to trusted sources. Today, everyone talks about a crisis in media boardrooms and also in newsrooms. How is the mood here, would you say? Is Switzerland a bit more of a bubble than maybe across the border in Germany or Austria?
I guess so. It's still, in terms of controversy, it's still much more calm, I would say, here, and not as furious as in Germany. I'd say in that respect, we're a bit of a bubble.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, one topic that you touched on, Tyler, was the consolidation going on. Basically, the media landscape is in the hands of three publishing companies in Switzerland right now. The latest consolidation move having been the acquisition of the Basler Zeitung by Tamedia, which runs Tagesanzeiger as well. So the consolidation is going on, but comparing it to the shrillness of the media in Germany, for example, we're still on a calmer level here.
What does the media diet look like? Let's say to maybe a more upmarket, informed consumer. Is it does radio still form a function? Do people gravitate and define themselves more by where they're getting their news, whether they're in their car, through their headphones, versus how they define themselves by the paper they read? And then I guess also, of course, there's the power of state television here as well. And I feel it's sort of fair to say that probably almost sort of the sole source of major international and national news, because the budgets are there to do it. What does the media diet look like? And of course, we can't ignore the digital extensions of all of these as well.
So as a study has shown, a lot of people still take a lot of trust in radio. So they like to hear the radio, and they trust in the information they hear there. So that's quite obvious.
And Mark, from your side, obviously, if we look back, let's look across the Atlantic to the United States. Once upon a time, you had sort of the major newscasts of course the big three networks. Well, that sort of moved on. I mean, there is still a little bit of a voice of God. If you have to sort of, if there's a must watch in this country where there's going to be an interesting debate, where there's going to be a good journalist, really putting a politician to the wall, what is that program in this country that is sort of the must view for the Swiss viewer?
It runs on the state-owned television channels. Obviously, Switzerland is too small for the type of privately run television networks that you see in other countries. In the Swiss national television, you have on Friday evenings a format called Arena, which is usually politicians going at each other. And on probably if you wanted to hear something more more sophisticated, you tune in on Tuesday evening when there's a format called The Club, where politicians, people from the business sector and so on, discuss current issues.
Interesting title as well, because probably a lot of people would argue that's just part of the problem with Switzerland Incorporated, and politically it is a bit of a club. Maybe, I don't know, it was sort of ironically titled in its time when they launched it.
I don't think there was much irony about it, but it was really the idea was to have a sophisticated or a good mannered discussion.
Mm. Do you think, just to both of you, I mean, there's an extraordinary level of wealth in this country. This is a small country which punches above its weight. If you look at a brand, let's say like the NZZ, for example, this is a title which has made certainly. Yeah, it aside from being a title of record, I mean, it's well read across the border in Germany, maybe even more so than Austria. As we look at Brexit, as we look at the shifting plates of Europe, do you think that Switzerland can play a bigger role? Can Switzerland have a different voice? Because what I find interesting, I mean, aside from stories about trams on a Saturday morning in the paper, there is sort of an interesting moral leadership. Switzerland, even if it's German language, it's taking a very different view. It's not a German view. It's German language, but it's not a German view, and it's very nuanced, I think, from what we hear within the Anglo world. It's often very refreshing what I read. And I'm wondering, do you think that also at a time probably when brands have to build bigger audiences, Katrine, from your point of view, do you think NZZ or any other title could have a bigger voice internationally?
Yeah, certainly in the German spoken world or speaking world, I think NZZ has a real an intact chance to reach a broader audience, I think. I'm not sure about the English speaking world, because it's a lot of effort for such a tiny newspaper to of course have an English edition.
We live in hope, maybe. I mean, on your side, Mark, as well, I mean, we haven't even touched on Republic, though I think our listeners, have certainly heard a lot about it, and we've covered what you're up to. And here as well, you have a very interesting business model, which really gathered a lot of attention with the funding round that you went through to launch this, to start with, digital media house. Actually, and I'm trying to sort of phrase it for you. Actually, what is your elevator pitch when you say to someone, Republic is?
Republic does good journalism. We do no bullshit journalism. Just the important topics. We don't do any noise. We don't do any clickbait. Just really good and high level journalism.
And right now, what would you say of the last sort of two or three stories that have come up over the last few weeks for people who haven't had a peek? What have you been following, and what have you been assigning your editors on?
Well, what we cover is domestic politics, international politics, and business and culture. Those are sort of the four main fields that we cover. We had a big and beautiful story about Palermo this week with a portrait of the mayor, Leoluca Orlando, in Palermo. We've had a few explainer pieces, because in Switzerland, a month from now, the end of November, we have a national vote coming up, there's quite an important topic there, so we had an explainer about
What was that? What's this referendum going to be about?
It's complicated, but basically
30-second version.
It wants the Swiss law to be above international law,
which means also human rights.
Exactly. So that's really the most simple version of it. Right now, international law and human rights law is above the Swiss law, and this initiative wants to turn it upside down. So it's a highly loaded issue, and that vote will come up on November 25th. So we had an explainer about that. Those were sort of the two big stories we had this week.
Where does Republic sit politically within the spectrum? Certainly, well, within this country, but also, I mean, maybe, again, for our person who just got off the plane from Chicago, where would it sit if you had to explain it to someone from North America?
It sits on the liberal side, center-left, but we never want to be dogmatic. We always want to surprise our readers.
Mark, at the top of the show, you just were referencing the front cover of today's Neue Zürcher Zeitung, Flirt mit dem Autoritarismus. And it's talking about, of course, what might happen with the ultra-right getting in potentially into power into Brazil. We were actually going to head down that way right now because, of course, voting for a new president happens tomorrow. Currently favored is the far-right candidate, Jair Bolsonaro. Our Fernando Augusto Pacheco, also a resident Brazilian, paid a visit to the newsroom of Brazil's largest newspaper, Folha de São Paulo, to speak with the paper's political editor, Fabio Zanini.
Folha has the largest online audience, the largest print readership, the largest number of website page views, unique visitors, etc. There are many ways to measure audience online. Folha is the leader of all these measures. As if Folha is the most influential, I'm kind of suspect to say something like this. I'm not the most impartial person to say that. I hope we are, but the fact is Folha is very influential. Obviously, our profession today, journalism, presents many challenges, not only in Brazil, but worldwide. The profession is changing, the way we report is changing, the new technologies are changing the profession. So there are many, many challenges, economic challenges, of course, throughout the world to the media. We are having to cope with all these challenges, but we hope that we still are the most influential newspaper in Brazil, certainly one of the most.
And you're the editor of one of the most important sections, which is the politics section, or Poder. How is your schedule? Because, you know, especially when you're in outside Brazil, there's so many things happening, not only because of the election when it comes to politics. Brazil's mad. I mean, every day there's a big story to cover in your section.
Yeah, I've been politics editor for the last 3 years, and it's been hectic. It's been crazy. That's the word, because I've been editor throughout one of the biggest political crises we have ever experienced. We have had this corruption operation, Lava Jato, resulting in the arrest of many top politicians and top businessmen. We've had mass demonstrations that resulted in the impeachment of former President Dilma Rousseff, and then we've had the new president, Michel Temer, the current president, and also all the problems and difficulties this government has faced in terms of corruption, accusations, etc. And now we have this momentous election here. My routine is work, work, work. Especially now in these last few weeks with the election coming. It's been almost, I wouldn't say 24-hour work, because sometimes I have to stop and sleep. But it's very challenging from a personal point of view, but it's very stimulating from a professional point of view as well. So you have pros and cons about that.
I know there's been a few changes at Folha at the beginning of the year. I think the new Manual da Redação. Tell us a bit more about what were those changes? Were there massive changes? Or
this has been a very rich year for Folha the last few months. We've had a new editorial project. We have a new design for the print edition. We've had a new design as well for the online edition. We've had the new, as you say, the new guidelines for the newsroom. We've had also difficulties in terms of layoffs and the reduction of the size of the newsroom. That's also a factor. So it's been a very rich year, in a way, a very momentous year. And we are having to cope with this structural change at Folha at the same time that we have a huge challenge of covering and trying to make sense to the readership of all that's going on in Brazilian politics. So it hasn't been easy, but it's been very interesting, to say the least.
And you guys are managing. What I like about it, for example, of course, there's massive investment online as well, but even the printed edition, it did look different as well. So there's still quite an importance on graphic design as well. That's important, right, to attract readers.
Yeah, the print edition continues to be very, very important for us. As I said, we've had a graphic reform of the print edition, because part of our readership, especially the older readers, but not only, they stick to the print edition, and they will keep sticking to the print edition forever. These readers, they just don't get used to reading online. They want the print edition, which organizes the subjects. Obviously, the printed edition has this disadvantage of, in terms of agility. The online edition is more is updated constantly, etc. But on the other hand, the printed edition is organizes sometimes the material more easily. I'm a fan of the print edition. I've been reading Folio for the last 20 years, always print edition, even though I recognize the merits of the online edition. The print edition for me is still king.
And that was Fabio Zanini speaking to our very own Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Stay tuned to Monocle 24 as we'll be covering the results of the election on The Globalist Monday, 8 a.m. Zurich time, 7 a.m. in London with our team and crew at Midori House. We're still in Zurich. It's just gone 11:24 here on the continent. I am with Mark Diddley from Republic. We were just talking about their no bullshit approach to journalism. And I'm also here with Katharina Bracher from the Neue Zürcher Zeitung am Sonntag. Can you give us a bit of a preview? What do we expect in the paper tomorrow? I don't want to sort of spoil your sales.
No, but you won't. But, well, I have two colleagues working on in-depth research about activists in Saudi Arabia and, of course, abroad, and how they have been treated by their government. So this is one thing. And then we have a very nice piece about how insects, like killer insects, can really be of use to as a biological weapon. So that's just two pieces.
So as you're talking sort of the weaponization of insects.
Yeah, obviously there is a lot of research going on also in the US and in Russia. So
making a lot of our listeners rather squeamish today, I'm sure. Just before we go, I gave you a bit of pre-on-air homework. I picked up a magazine in Paris last week. There's been a lot of buzz about the launch of this new title called L'Etiquette, a new French magazine occupying the men's part of the newsstand, and one which takes a slightly sort of different turn. If you know, for our real sort of dedicated magazine fans who are listening, very sort of autumnal green color. It's got a very different cover, I think, for traditional titles. Doesn't rely on any celebrity. It's a series of composite images, also using a bit of black and white as well. Matte paper stock. I really liked it, but that's just me. Mark, first impressions when you flip through. I mean, we both commented that there's certainly a lot of healthy advertising in it.
Beautiful. I like it. I wasn't aware of this, but I'm a business editor, so I'm not so much into the fashion industry. But it's beautiful, and it's a great and healthy sign that there's people out there who want to take a risk and launch a new media product in today's markets, yeah. Which is
also
great.
So print media, it's really it's remarkable an investment like this, yeah.
No, and it's incredible when you go to the French newsstand. You still see every time you go through Guédenon or Galion, and you know there's always at a relay shop there is always a new launch that, you know, whether there is another magazine which enters the weekly market, and it could be in the news and philosophy end, or it could be something which is much more tabloid in approach, or there's a new monthly as well. And I think that's always incredibly encouraging. And I think also across the border as well. I mean, Germany still seems pretty good at bringing out print titles. Just going back to our discussion about consolidation, though, in this market, I mean, once upon a time in Switzerland, there were a lot of small independent publishers. As you've seen, a lot of them have been hoovered up. Some of the titles are still around. They're part of bigger groups now. Is the Swiss consumer mark still lucky to have the kiosk at every train station? Of course, there's too many drinks and chocolate bars everywhere. But do you think that there's a certain sort of luxury that the reader has in this country, maybe, versus other markets potentially?
I mean, it has to be stated that Switzerland is a very small market. If you look at the German-speaking part of Switzerland, that's 4.5 million people. So it's very difficult to, you know, to launch a new print publication in this very small market. But the established publications we have, I'd say, with NZZ on the one side and with Tagesanzeiger and some other titles sort of more center-left, we still have a rather broad offering of media titles here. Plus, we have three Sunday papers, which have a very different pitch So all in all, I'd say the variety in media is still okay.
I mean, Catherine, if you go across the channel, you still get, you know, you'll still see people on a Sunday morning and they'll pick up everything. Someone, you know, so the equivalent, I guess, someone would be picking up the Sonntag Zeitung, they would pick up Blickam Sonntag, they would pick up NZZ am Sonntag.
So that, that's what you observe at the kiosk?
You still see that sometimes. I mean, it does because, not like it used to. Yeah. Here, do people just vote with one paper? I'm an NZZ am Sonntag person, or I'm reading the Blick and that's it? Or are they kind of having a bit of a buffet?
No, they usually stick to one paper, in my opinion, when I... And also, we don't sell a lot of papers at the kiosk anymore. So it's we heavily depend on subscriptions more, yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to that story about the weaponization of toxic insects tomorrow. Katharina Bracher from the Neue Zürcher Zeitung am Sonntag and Mark Dittley from Republic. Very good seeing you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's show. Thanks to our producer, Fernando Augusto Pacheco, who is also, of course, in Sao Paulo, and our editors, David Stevens and Sam Impey. If you have any comments or queries, then do feel free to write Fernando at fp@monocle.com. Remember, we'll also have our coverage of the elections in Brazil on and from the Globalist first thing on Monday morning. Remember, we're going to be back at the same time Saturday, but we'll be back in London. We will not be in Zurich. Of course, you can always listen again at monocle.com or iTunes. You've been listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24 with me, Tyler Brulé. Have a good weekend. Goodbye.